Well, I'm blessed to be here this morning with you. I look across the church. I see the men and women who've been there through the thick and the thin. Some people come and go, and in ministry you see that. But there's some great men and women of God in this house that they've been here. And I bless you this morning. I honor you this morning. To the leaders, to the elders, to the pastors of this church, you've made a difference in my life, and I thank you for that this morning. I was preparing over the last month. The Lord kept speaking to my heart, and I don't know. I think my dad told me about 3 weeks ago he'd be gone, and the Lord had laid something on my heart. On a Thursday night, I was taking an offering, and I have this habit. You know, we were brought up around a black church. Love the black church. Love the black church. Feel at home at the black church. And I picked up this phrase, and sometimes when I'm sharing, I'll say, "Can I get a witness?" You like that? Can I get a witness? So I got done that night, and what a great service. Haven't we just had some great services lately? Haven't we just had some awesome services lately? Just incredible services. Just great moves of God. And I got done, and I walked off to the side, and one of our pastors, they were poking at me a little bit. And they looked at me and said, "Can I get a witness?" It was Aaron. And I walked out that night. I walked out the door that night, and I felt the spirit of anybody ever said something to you, and it really didn't mean anything at the moment, but you walked away and you said, "That meant something to me. That touched my heart. It spoke to my spirit. It stuck with me. I can't leave that. Can I get a witness? What's that mean, Lord?" And over the next 3 weeks, over the next month, the Lord began to reveal to me, not only through his word, but through people, exactly what that meant. And I want to make a couple of scriptural references this morning before we start, but I want to get better at discerning things. When God's speaking to us through a person, through a season, through a time, do we listen? Or do we get too busy? Do we get too caught up in our own thought process and in our own lives that we just, it's just a happening? Or do we stop and do we sense God's spirit and say, "That meant something"? And Aaron didn't know it that night, but it meant something to my heart and my spirit. And I went to the Lord, and I believe the Lord gave me these passages. Luke 1:39 reads, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to the city of Judea, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in the womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit." You ever had a relationship that you met a person and you knew it was just a special connection? You ever met somebody and you just knew that you knew that you knew? I'm not talking about a guy with a girl, you look at her and go, "Oh man, she's hot." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a relationship, a spiritual relationship between two people. When they meet, all of a sudden, you know, your life will never be the same. Do you know what I'm talking about? The babe leaped in the womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is it that you granted me that the mother of the Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in the womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told from her." let me give you exactly what I believe was happening. In the scripture, Mary and Elizabeth were who? Mary, the mother of Jesus. We all know that, right? Do you know who Elizabeth was? Elizabeth was the mother of John the Baptist. Are you with me? Stay with me now. Now I'm going to jump to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, in the beginning, was God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing that was made was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now we're fast forwarding. We're fast forwarding to John's ministry. Are you with me right now? There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That man came for a witness. He came for a witness. To bear witness of the light that through him we might believe. He was not that light. John was not Jesus. John was not the light. John was not the miracle. But he came to bear witness that Jesus was coming. You know, I think of John, and I think of when I believe the Holy Spirit was giving me this. And if you know me, if you know my personality, I'm somewhat subdued. This isn't my element. But I believe when the Holy Spirit was giving me this John and gave me this story on John bearing witness, I thought of people in this church. I thought of a few people. I thought of, first of all, I'm Paul Lamandola. He's like another brother to me, along with Brad and a bunch of other people. But I thought of Paul. And I thought of Paul going out into the streets and just praying for people. And I was with him one day, and the lady, we pulled in somewhere, and she pointed at Paul, and she goes, aren't you that guy that prays for everybody? And he goes, why, yes, it is. I am that guy. If you know Paul. But that's what John was. That's what John was in this scripture. He wasn't the light. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness. And you know what he preached? He preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Am I telling the truth, preachers? Pastors? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I can just picture us today. If John the Baptist came in here and preached the same thing every Sunday, we'd get, I don't know what this means, but somebody would go like this and walk out the back door. He preached the same thing every week. John preached the same message every week, baptizing people in the name. He came as a witness. He didn't have a bunch of different sermons. He didn't have he didn't have the word. He didn't have God's word at that time. All he knew was, is repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he bore witness to what Jesus was going to do. Amen. Now I'm going to skip to verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he whom I said, after me a man would come who is preferred before me. For he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing him with water. Can you imagine the picture? Can you imagine this morning? I'm up here speaking. I'm up here preaching. I'm up here proclaiming. And all of a sudden, in the back of the room, Jesus enters into the room. And I point to him and I say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold his majesty. Behold his righteousness. And everything stops. The righteousness of God himself appeared to John. He's in the Jordan and he's baptizing people. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus walks in the room and he stops everything he's doing. And he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You know what he did right there? He bore witness. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you this morning, God, that you'd have your way in this service. Father, make your spirit flesh this morning. Use me as a vessel, Father. You know I'm inadequate. I can't do this without you. So, Father, I ask that you'd fill me now to speak your word. In Jesus' name. I'm gonna take a long trail. I'm going to go down a long creek. I'm going to build a foundation. And then I believe you'll sense what God is speaking to our hearts and our spirits. I believe that when we speak, I believe that when we preach, I believe that when we minister to people, it's hard to minister to people from a place we haven't walked. So I believe this morning the Lord has been working this in my spirit, in my heart, in my life. Do you have a sense of a God-given purpose? Did John know his purpose? I believe he knew his purpose. I believe he followed God. I believe he knew his purpose. I believe he preached the same thing week in and week out. I believe people followed him. I believe people came to the knowledge of Jesus through John's word. If you read God's word, you'll understand that John knew his purpose. My question for you this morning, and I believe God's question for us, do we know our purpose in God's house? No, I'm not talking about a job. I'm not talking about a career. I'm not talking about a position in the community. I'm not talking about a social status. I'm talking about the purpose that you have in God's house. Debbie comes in Sunday after Sunday. She knows her purpose. She heads to that keyboard. I can't play the keyboard. I surely can't play the organ, not like him. But I know what I can do. I know what I can do. I come in every Sunday morning. And if you're here next Sunday, I'll be here. 7:30 in the morning, I walk in here and I go out and I get a broom and I get a dustpan. And you know what I do? I go out in the parking lot and I clean with Chris Busniak. And I ask him, what else can I do? I know my purpose. I know the plan. People smile when I say things like that. I'd rather do the smallest of these things than nothing. Do you know your purpose in his house? Do you know that God has a plan for you? Do you know that? I believe that I know that. I believe that I know that God has a purpose for my life. In Romans 8:28, for in all things, God works for the good of those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. So what do we have? We have a scriptural guarantee that if we follow God's purpose for our lives, that we'll be blessed. I found in my short years that his purpose for my life and his purpose for your life is more important than my personal persona or personality. That God blessed me because his purpose was my life for my life was so important. God's plans are critical. They are directional. They direct humanity and history. It wasn't you or I that was so smart, that was so educated, that was so talented that God opened the door for you. No, you are walking in his divine purpose, in his divine plan for your life, and he gifted you along the way. I can remember Sundays. I remember when this church started. I remember coming in and being at the sound booth. I ran the sound every single Sunday. Some of you guys weren't here for that. But I remember my dad, one Sunday, there was nobody to sing, and my dad said, why don't you go up and sing? Pamela, you remember? And I remember him looking at me and saying that to me, and I looked at him with all the boldness that a 12-year-old, a 13-year-old can muster up and said, I'm not going up there. And you know what I did? I went up there because I was trained. I was taught from a young age not to be a robot. I wasn't manipulated. I wasn't conjured. I was taught from a young age to serve in God's house and to find my place that fit. You know why I told Brad to take a longer time? Because that testimony, I watched a young man walk out the back crying over the testimony that Brad gave this morning. He's fitting in his place. He's fitting in his purpose. He's finding his realm in God's house. He's found his place of purpose. I believe there's people that are miserable. They're depressed. They have anxiety because they've never found their plan. They've never found their place in God's house. They just walk in on Sunday morning and they sit down. Boy, I hope Garrett sings good this morning. I hope Ryan's not too loud this morning. It's okay to laugh. I'm poking a little fun. And they never engage. They never get their purpose. I'm here to encourage you to find your purpose. Find your place. David had a role in the scripture. Because of God's purpose, he needed to move Saul out of the position. David needed to be king. Through David's lineage was going to be Jesus Christ. And he needed David in that place so Jesus could be King of Kings and Lord of Lords through the prophecy. And part of a royal dynasty, God wasn't about to allow David's frailties, his failures, his goof-ups, his nonsense as a person to interfere with his plan for his life. When God has a plan for you, and he does for every person that's within the sound of my voice, he has a plan for you. When God has a plan for you, you'll feel like you're stuck until you find that plan. I'm not talking about a job. I'm not talking about a career. I'm not talking about anything other than your specific place, the place where you were born to be, the place that you get in and you go, oh, this is my place. Paul, your place in the kingdom is evangelism. Can I get one witness? Fact is, you are not where you are today because you are the most gifted, prayerful, holy, or sanctified. You are there because God has a specific role for you. And it's unique. And nobody else can do it the way you do it. Can you say amen? That's why it's so important not to compare ourselves to others. Well, I just want to be like him. I just want to be like her. Scripture says, Corinthians 10:12, it says it's unwise to try to imitate someone. Don't stop being you because you fit a part of the purposes of God. Imagine a puzzle laid out on this podium. And I'm terrible at puzzles. I'm the most impatient person. Terrible at them. I'll sit down. My wife is the most patient person. You want to meet somebody patient? My lovely wife, Samantha. She'd have to be patient to deal with me. But imagine, hey, easy. But imagine a puzzle sitting on this podium. And every single piece of that puzzle has a curvature in it, right? Are you picturing this puzzle? And imagine if you came to me and you said, well, which part of that puzzle am I? What would I do? I would take you and I would try to jam you in any spot I could. I would try to stuff you in any part I could because I don't know the end result. I don't know what the full picture looks like. And here's the problem with that. I can jam you in somewhere. People meet with my dad all the time. What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? How am I supposed to minister? And you know what he says? I'm not sure. I'm not really sure because the problem is if you start putting pieces of the puzzle in, I can do it and I can force them and I can push them in. But the problem is eventually the pieces of the puzzle start popping out of place. And that's what people do. They spend 20 years being forced into a place, into a position, trying to be something that they aren't, and they just keep on popping out of place. But if you get before the Lord and you say, oh Lord, I want to be that piece of the puzzle that fits perfect, that's placed perfect, that's built perfect, God will direct you to a place, into a season of your life that no man can take from you. There's a reason why people work well with other people or don't. There is a reason why you're loud or you're quiet. You work well with all objects or you don't. We have all been curved to fit a particular place and purpose. If you don't have it, you're lost. in an abyss of aggravation and depression. Some people change jobs. They change spouses. They change friends. They change churches because they haven't found that certain spot. They're going to everything else. Oh, if I just have this woman, I'll be the man. I'll be the guy. If I just have this job, I'll have the notoriety that I need. If I just go to this church, the lights will be right and the music will be right. Oh, look where he is. The music will be right. Isn't the music awesome lately? Come on. And they go from thing to thing. They go from place to place trying to make the objects, trying to make people fill their purpose. And guess what happens? It don't work. It just don't work. How do we find our specific place? How do we find our specific purpose? I'm glad you asked. Number one, praise and worship is our intimacy, or do we know everything? Number two, prayer is our conversation with God, or do we continue to get hurt and mad because we ask people and not God to place us? Ooh, that's good. Oh, that's good. And number three, we serve. You know what I wrote next to serve? You're just trying. You're just trying. When I got up and sang the first Sunday, I didn't even know what was going to come out. Had no inkling, had no clue. 15 years later, like Brad, 13 years later, 15 years later, all of a sudden I found out I fit. We seek God because he has classified information. God knows what we can become. He knows where we fit. Seeking God leads to self-discovery. Therefore, I'm lost without him. So I seek him that I might be found. It leads to that self-discovery of who am I in the kingdom? What is my purpose? What is your plan for my life? There are seasons of a purpose as well. And I'm moving here. If you look at most people in the Bible, if you look at most people in their lives, people you know, there are seasons. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, there is a time and a purpose in every season under heaven. Life has stages. We had the grace for those seasons. Things we did back then, we couldn't do now. I said in the first service, I remember setting up chairs every Saturday night. I remember setting those chairs up and I had them lines perfect. They were perfect. They were better than these lines. The chairs were lined perfect. The sound was set up perfect. I set the sound up first. Jeff, wherever you are. But I don't have the grace for that anymore. People say, I wish we could go back to that. I don't wish we could go back to that. I don't have the grace for that anymore. I don't have the grace to be at the YWCA from 8 o'clock till midnight setting chairs up. I don't have the grace for that anymore. How do you know when that season's up? How do you know when you're done with that season? I don't have the grace for some people anymore. You pray for people to get well long enough. If they stay sick, I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about mentally. If they stay sick mentally enough, you know what'll happen? You'll become who they are, not them becoming who God says they are. There's a time and a season with you with people. There's a season. Sometimes you just gotta move on. I know that's tough. I know it is. I know it's tough. There's a season. How do we know when the season's over? Well, one way you'll know is you don't have grace for that season anymore. When grace is operating in your life, you don't even realize how much you are expending because you've been given the grace to accomplish the task. Life is a series of stages. Life is a series of seasons and stages. Psalms 119:71. That's why the Bible said, it is good for me that I was afflicted. There's certain times and places. Joseph in the scripture. Joseph, he gets thrown in the pit by his brothers. He gets brought out. Gets taken to Potiphar's house. Gets lied on. Gets thrown in jail. While he's in jail, all of a sudden, and this is where I've been heading this whole time. This is the purpose of this time, this message. Joseph gets thrown, you know the story. Joseph gets thrown into prison. And the scripture just depicts his attitude. The scripture depicts his longing, his desire for the Lord. He's not mad. He's not frustrated. He's not ready to walk away from God. He begins to operate in his gift right in that season of his life. Even though the enemy meant it for bad, but he begins to operate in that gift. He begins to sow. He begins to just put the time and lead worship even when people said the wrong thing about him. He began to preach even when people said he couldn't preach. He began to clean up outside, even though he thought, why am I still doing this? But he just pressed in. And you know what happened? The Bible says that the butcher and the butler were in the pit with him. They were in the jail cell with him. And the scripture goes on to say that Pharaoh, he called the butcher and the butler back out. He felt grace on him. He felt mercy. He felt compassion. Why would you do that? Why would you, when you send somebody to jail, all of a sudden you feel compassion from God? It fit his purpose. It fit God's plan. He calls the butcher and the butler back out. You've heard the story, haven't you? Calls him back out. You know what the butcher and the butler say? I know this man. I know this person. I met him when we were in jail, and I witnessed his gift. There's that word again. I witnessed his gift. And I've gone a long way to tell you this, but Joseph comes out of obscurity and ends up back in a place of promotion, a place of blessing. He would have never been there had he not hit his low. If the baker and the butcher never witnessed the power of Joseph's gifts, they couldn't have told Pharaoh. Do you have a witness? Do you have a sponsor? I call it sponsor. You need people. And people say, all I need is God. You ever met somebody like that in church? I don't need friends. I got the Lord. Well, if that was the case, Adam would have never, he would have never been given Eve, right? You need people. You need people in your life. Give and it shall be given. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you. He didn't say, I'm going to drop a purse down in your lap in the second service at City Church. I'm going to bless you that way. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to keep track of what you gave. I'm going to keep track of what you did. I'm going to keep track of exactly how you served. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring a man to you. I'm going to bring a woman to you that brings the blessing back into your life. So what am I preaching about this morning? What am I communicating to you this morning? You need people. You need a witness in your life. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care how proud you think you are. I don't care how educated or uneducated you are. If you begin to chase after godly relationships and connect with godly people, here comes your blessing. Right out of the bosom of a man. You need people. You ever met a person that can't get along with anybody? How's the blessing in their life? It's terrible. Thank you, Mark. One witness. You need a man or a woman. This means, I love this, your resource is in your relationships. If I was the devil and understood this, I wouldn't attack your resources. What would I attack? Your relationships. There's people in this church right now. You're on the brink. You're on the edge. You're on the threshold of a breaking point. The choice is whether you walk away or you stay. Look at your neighbor and say, stay. Thank you to all them obstinate people that didn't. Folks can't get along with anyone and wonder why their prayers aren't answered. If you can't get along with anybody, your prayers will not come to pass. God answers with people. The text I started with this morning was John standing in the Jordan with Jesus at the back. He says, behold, behold, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Let me ask you a question. Let me just propose a thought to you. God of all divinity, God all knowing, God who sees the beginning to the end, why in the world does he need John to point him out and say, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins, the trespasses, the mess, the screw-ups of the world stands at the back of the room. Come, come, Jesus. Why does he do that? Why does he need John to do that? Because God wanted you to know. God wanted I to know. God wanted Jesus to know that you need a witness in your life. You need a relationship in your life. You need a background in your life of people that can take you from one glory to another glory. Look at your life and all the promotion that you've had. It didn't just drop into your lap. It came through a relationship. I got a message this week on my phone. I didn't share this in the first service because he wasn't here. I got a message this week on my phone. Hey, bro. If we have more time, I play. Hey, bro, I wanted to tell you that I missed you this morning. That I've really enjoyed our time together. That it's just been an awesome time, and I don't want to lose that. I want to keep that. I want to cherish that relationship. I want to build on that relationship because the man of God that called me understands the purpose and the plan of a relationship. Thank you for that message, Jim Booty. Do we understand that our resources and our relationship? And I'm closing right now. Jesus and God made a point to tell you that you need a witness. John points to Jesus in the midst of his message. He's preached 100 times. Jesus shows up in a message he's preached 100 times. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus shows up in the back of the room. He didn't have to fight out. He didn't have to work out. He didn't have to manipulate his way out. None of that. John pointed him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And right then, it happened. We see nothing from Jesus from the age of 12 to the age of 30. Remember at 12 when he came into the temple? After 12 years old, from 12 to 30, 18 years, Jesus was silent. They didn't even know Jesus. The people standing by the Jordan, they had no idea who Jesus was. Do you know that? 18 years. John preached one thing. The scripture says, I told you what he said he preached. John only had one sermon, one thing. John was limited for a reason. When God doesn't give you more, you didn't need more for the purpose he's given you. You need a relationship. Not everybody can preach. Not everybody's an evangelist. Paulie went on a missions trip to LA. I had several people who went with him. I just can't do it like he does it. I just can't talk to people the way he talks to people. It's a gift. It's his place. It's his purpose. Do you know your purpose? Do you know that your resource is in your relationship because Jesus and God the Father wanted you to know that. Would you say amen? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for that person who's on the brink, who's on the edge, who's broken, who's hurting. They've been frustrated for some time, Lord. You spoke that to my spirit. They've been weary and well-doing. Father, I ask that you'd speak to them in this moment. Father, in this time, I ask that you'd speak to them. Father, point them to their purpose. We make a commitment as a body of believers together that we will pray, that we will worship, that we will praise, that we will serve. Father, with the result of knowing you more. Father, you know our plans. You know our way. You know our purpose. We ask you this morning. Father, direct us.
Call us out as John called you out. Call us. Send us men. Send us women into our lives. We had no idea we're coming. We had no idea that they were there for us. But Father, that they'd even point us out, that they'd recognize the gift of God over our life, and they'd say, come. Father, in Jesus' name, speak to the weary of heart. Those who have considered running. Those who have considered quitting. Speak to their heart. We thank you for our relationships in this house. Father, we thank you for the plans and the purposes of your Spirit for our lives. We don't take it for granted. In Jesus' name, amen. There's two people I'd like to pray for this morning, but I'll dismiss you before I do so. If you say, Ryan, I have no idea what you're speaking of this morning because I have no personal relationship with God the Father. If I did not give you that opportunity this morning, everything that I said and did this morning and you did as well would be in the abyss. You need Jesus in your life. You need him as your personal Lord and Savior. I would ask that you meet me right down here on my left this morning, on your right, and I will invite you into God's kingdom. This morning, if you don't know Jesus, the only thing you know at death is hell. I'm sorry to tell you that. It's a hard reality. But this morning, you have a divine opportunity to meet Jesus, to have a relationship with him. The Bible says, the scripture says, you must be born again. You must know him. I'd like to pray for you on this side. Over on this side, Paulie, I'd ask you to come down. If you're struggling knowing your purpose, if you're struggling with your direction for your life, I would like someone to pray for you that I believe has found their direction. They found their purpose. They've found their calling. They found those relationships. I'd like Paul to pray with you this morning. I have to tell you before we dismiss, I do love you. This church means the world to me. Without this church, I would not be the person I am today. So I bless you and thank you this morning for this gift this morning to share God's word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.